WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? Happy, happy hump day. That's right. It is Wednesday, March 18th. So glad you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your afternoon. We got a fantastic show in store for you all right? On today's show, we'll be breaking down the bracket. Yes, you folks have less now than 24 hours to get your bracket ready and to enter those tourney pools and to compete. And I tell you what, folks, also, we have our very own Current Sports Bracket Challenge for all of you out there. If you go to facebook.com/currentsports, you can sign up on there. And if you win, we'll have a treat for you if you do win. That's the key, all right? On today's show, we'll also be chatting with Brooks Lambeer, sports reporter for Impact Sports. Brooks right now is currently at MSU Pro Day. Brooks will be chatting with me about what he's seeing, who's having great outings, so on and so forth. It's a big one, folks. Big, big day today on the campus of Michigan State. We'll also chat a little Pistons, talk about Delton Williams getting arrested, and so much more. But as custom here on Current Sports, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this March 18th. Let's begin this thing by talking about the girls' high school postseason action, folks, on the hardwood. Now, there are a few teams who have punched their ticket to the Breslin Center, two few local teams here. In Class A, DeWitt topped Grand Rapids Forest Hill Central last night, 65-37 in that matchup. Also, in Class B, Hazlitt books a ticket to the Brez, 48-38, the final of that one against Grand Rapids Catholic Central. And in Class C, how about Langsburg? They continue their undefeated year. They topped Niles Brandywine. Creative name for a school, right? In other scores, Detroit King, they topped Romulus, 49-35. Brigham Marion, 51. They topped Waterford Kettering, who had 42 in that game, so 51-42, the final on that one. Saginaw Heritage, they topped Heartland 44-36. So there's a few local scores right there. We'll also be at the Breslin Center throughout this week for the girls' state championship game. So you want to keep it locked to WKR.org and Current Sports TV for highlights and post-game reaction from those games later on. All right, folks, MSU running back Delton Williams has been suspended from all team activities indefinitely after being involved in a road rage incident on campus. Now, no charges have been filed, but Williams was lodged in Ingham County Jail Monday night. He was the team's third leading rusher last year with 316 yards gained. All right, folks, MSU Pro Day, 53 NFL personnel representing all 32 NFL teams, and get this, 35 media credentials were given out for MSU's Pro Day today, which is going on as we speak. MSU has 19 confirmed participants, including all draft hopefuls. And again, later on the show, we'll invite Brooks Lambeer of Impact Sports. He's at Pro Day right now. He'll bring us a report later on. All right, Central Michigan dug itself too deep a hole in the first half of its first NIT appearance since 1979, losing to Louisiana Tech 89-79. Oakland also lost its opener of the collegeinsider.com tourney in Eastern Illinois, 97-91, the final of that game. The 97 points put up were Oakland's second most on the year. Cahill Felder had a big night with 37 points and 11 assists and also 8 rebounds despite the loss. All right, the NCAA tourney officially began last night with a pair of first four games in Dayton, Ohio. Ole Miss beat BYU 94-90. Hampton beats Manhattan 74-64. Now the first four will continue today as well with two more games before we head into the first full day of action on Thursday. The first game tonight features number 16 seeds Robert Morris and North Florida. The Colonial Champions of the NEC will face the Ospreys of the Atlantic Sun, and the winner gets number one seed Duke on Friday. Talk about a tall order. All right, Reggie Jackson posted 23 points and 20 assists in his best game as a Piston so far as the Pistons beat the Memphis Grizzlies on Tuesday night. Andre Drummond had his 36th double-double of the year with 16 points, 16 rebounds, 5 blocks in the win. Calvin Johnson, Detroit Lions wide receiver, popped a question this week to his now fiance. Get this, Brittany McNorton. The couple was on vacation in Baltimore and was along the city's inner harbor when Johnson proposed. McNorton also works for the Lions, and there are no set plans for a wedding date as of yet. Teammate Matthew Stafford and his fiance, Kelly Hall, will also be getting married soon. Johnson will be Stafford's best man. Oh, isn't that cute? Isn't that cute? And also, last but not least, Syracuse men's basketball coach Jim Boeheim. He announced that he will retire in 3 years on March 6th. Now, Boeheim was suspended, of course, for 9 ACC games by the NCAA. 108 wins will be removed from Boeheim's 858 career wins. And Boeheim will speak to the media about everything on Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick headliners. Our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Without further ado, let's start the show. Folks, man, another day, another dollar. And again, I am so honored and grateful that you have allowed Curran Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. Folks, we got a great show in store for you. If you haven't heard at the very top of the hour, when I just before our headliners, we will invite Brooks Lambeer of Impact Sports. He is right now, as we speak, at MSU Pro Day on the campus of Michigan State University, as many Spartans are trying to impress head coaches from and other personnel from around the NFL to bolster that draft stock in Chicago to possibly get drafted. All right, folks. So Brooks will be bringing us a report. I'm seeing right now on his Twitter page, he's got a ton of videos. I'm seeing here Travis Jackson running a 40-yard dash. He's got a video of that. He's got Marcus Rush running his 40-yard dash. He's got a picture of Eagles coach Chip Kelly at Pro Day. Mike Tomlin is also there. So it is one busy afternoon on the campus of MSU right now. Again, MSU Pro Day, such a huge day. So you don't want to miss Brooks' report from Pro Day around 1:30. Also, folks, we'll be chatting about a lot of stuff on today's show. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll be talking about Jim Boeheim retiring in 3 years. How about that news, huh? Delton Williams getting arrested. We actually, you know, if you missed Curran Sports yesterday, we actually got that news right here, live on Curran Sports, just minutes before we had Drew Sharp of the Detroit Free Press on with us, and we got his initial reaction from the Izzo press conference. Interesting story, to say the least. And also, we'll chat about the Detroit Pistons, folks. They got a win. They snapped the big losing streak, as you just heard in our headliners. But I tell you what, I still do not think this team is going to make the playoffs. And, of course, that hurts my little heart because I'm such a big Detroit Pistons fan. So we'll be chatting about that and so much more. Again, the number to call in is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Got to remind you all that Curran Sports TV is also in live and full effect. This Thursday night, I will be chatting with a man who is, man, I tell you, he's one of the best interviews I've ever done. First off, I think he's fantastic on the air, a natural on the air. His name is Ted Zell. He's co-authored a book with boxing historian Clay Moyle. The book is entitled Tony Zell, The Man of Steel. Now, if you don't know who Tony Zell is, you may be living under a rock right now, folks. Tony Zell is one of the greatest boxers of all time. Tony is more notably known for his three legendary fights in which the Boxing Commission actually dined those three fights as some of the greatest ever, as the top 100 best fights ever. Tony Zell and Rocky Graziano's fights are in that realm. So, I mean, Tony Zell is unbelievable. And Ted exactly is Tony's nephew. And Ted actually wrote this incredible biography on his uncle that is a must read. So Ted is my guest for Current Sports this week. Again, you don't want to miss that. Again, that's Thursday night at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. Also, folks, again, it is tourney time, and I'm excited because on today's show, we didn't get to it yesterday, but we're going to do it today because, again, there is less than 24 hours for you, yes, you, to get your bracket tight and right, folks, and to pick who will become the national champion, who's your Final Four, who's in your Elite Eight, who's in your Sweet 16. We're going to break it down section by section in just a sec here, folks. Alex Sharg, my engineer, and I will do that on today's show. But I want to remind you all out there that, hey, we've got a Current Sports Bracket Challenge. All you got to do is go to Facebook.com/Current Sports right now. It's plastered right there. You just simply click the link, sign up, and fill out your bracket. And the winner will win a special prize, and you'll find out what that is when that time comes, and it's necessary. But right now, I want to invite the man behind the glass to the show, Alex Sharg, our engineer here on Current Sports. Alex, how you doing, my man?
Can you feel it? Can you feel the madness in the air, Al?
Yes. You know, wasn't it sort of, you know, I got a good feeling when I turned on CBS last night and just got to see, even though it's not the official, I guess it is the official start, but we all know the tourney doesn't officially start when those very first round games are played.
Right.
First four games have already tipped off, and it just kind of gave us a taste. I'm chomping at the bit right
Did
now,
Did you fill
Alex.
Out a bracket? For the,
yes,
for the first
I filled
four
out. Oh yeah, I filled out. I filled out like five brackets, dude.
Oh wow,
I've got a lot of brackets floating out there right
now.
So hopefully,
now did you pick the first four games? So did you pick the BYU game?
No,
yesterday?
I didn't. No, yeah. I did not.
I think that's smart.
They didn't impact my bracket whatsoever. Anyway, I don't think anybody who wins those first four games are going to compete again in that very first.
Hey, I agree that the first four games probably won't move on to the Final Four or anything like that. But
right,
every point matters in this thing.
Right. No, so, you're right. You're definitely right.
If you're picking those points for BYU or Ole Miss and you counted that towards your total bracket, hey, it can matter. And you know what? I'd say one of these games, which we'll get to in a little bit when we break down team by team and region, but one of the games last night, I think one team can upset another team.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right.
I think an 11 seed, one of the 11 seed games can upset a 6 seed.
All right, well, we'll see.
I'm very interested
to see your take. Okay, we're going to break it down, folks. Again, I'm curious to know what your bracket looks like as well. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We're also going to invite one of our Current Sports beat reporters right now live on the show. Ben Stram is also with us. How you doing, Ben?
Is this okay?
Yeah, that's good. Right. No, that's fine. Yeah.
Good. I'm doing great, man. Just looking forward to the next coming days. It's going to be a really great tournament. Hopefully our team's ready to make a run. You know, hopefully the emotion doesn't overwhelm them, you know, after the loss. So
right,
we'll
for Michigan State
back.
At least.
Right.
So I got to ask you, Ben, I always ask everyone out there when we get around this time, how many brackets have you done, Ben?
I actually only do one every
Just
year.
Just one
only,
bracket?
Only one.
So you ride year. Or die with one
right,
bracket.
Right. And people think I'm crazy, but I like to think about it one time through and just say that's it. That's
okay.
What I'm doing,
so you got your bracket in front of you? You ready to go
no,
through the state?
No, I don't, but I
so
can.
So we'll just kind of go region by region, and
sure.
I'll announce what the games are, and we'll go
sure.
from there. Is that cool with you, Alex?
Rolls with me, man.
Let's do it. All right. Well, let's start first in the Midwest region. Now, get your brackets handy, folks. I mean, we're not total experts here, but we're going to try our best and take a stab at this thing, okay? First off, Kentucky and Hampton. I think that's pretty much solidified, right, guys? Kentucky's going to...
Yeah, right.
Easy.
We can pass that.
Kentucky, Hampton, Kentucky. Cincinnati, Purdue. So we got a Big Ten team playing against Cincinnati.
Now, here's the thing with Purdue is they played pretty well in that tournament, but, you know, the Penn State game, I mean, the Penn State team, that was a team that I think was a force to be reckoned with, DJ Newbill, and they obviously competed pretty well as well when Purdue was in the Big Ten tourney. So I think that watching Purdue, you see a lot. I mean, typically, great guards coming out of that Purdue program. You look at the history of Purdue. But I'm actually going to roll with Cincinnati this year, Al.
You are.
I think
this
Cincy team.
Okay.
The reason is they can beat top 25 teams when it matters. They're 2-0 against good teams. And Purdue, I've seen them struggle. They haven't really beaten any great opponents. So I think Cincinnati will roll easily in this one.
So Purdue right now, I'm looking here. Purdue has a 3-4 record against top 25 teams. And as you just mentioned, Alex, Cincinnati is 2-0 against top 25 teams. They went 13-5 in conference. And, so I'm going to go opposite of you. I'm going with Purdue in that game. I love A.J. Hammonds. I love Isaac Haas. I love those guys. And I really think they can compete against really anybody. I'm going with Purdue in that game, Ben.
Right, yeah. I go back and forth with Purdue because I see them play so well sometimes, and I see them really struggle. So I actually have them losing that game too. I'm going to side with Alex. So
gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to struggle with the athleticism of Cincinnati. So
okay, all right. Well, let's keep this thing moving on now. West Virginia and Buffalo. I'm going with Buffalo. That's one of my sleepers.
You like Bobby Hurley?
I like Buffalo,
Coach Bobby
man.
Hurley, man.
Yes, I like this team a lot.
Yeah, I like Juwan Staten in that. I'm pretty chalk with the game, at least the higher seeds for the most part. But I like Juwan Staten for West Virginia, so I got them.
Okay, you're going with WV. What about you, Alex?
I'm actually going to go with WV too. Why Buffalo, Al? What is it about Buffalo?
I like Buffalo because this team, I tell you what, I got a chance to actually watch a little bit of Buffalo near the end of their season. Now, again, this is, you know, this is the big, they're in the big dance. Coach Bobby Hurley has the Bulls in the big dance for the first time in program history. Again, after winning the Mid-American regular season and tournament titles, they're right now riding on an 8-game win streak. I just think this team is so hot. They're playing some great basketball. It's all about momentum going in the tourney. And I think Buffalo, I'm reading all the experts, I think Buffalo is one of those teams that can make a deep run in the tourney, I think.
My problem with Buffalo is they haven't beat any good teams. They had a couple opportunities. They couldn't win. So I think that, yeah, they're rolling in their conference, but their conference
is weak. Virginia wasn't that great when it came to top 25 teams either. They were 4-8 against top 25 teams. I mean, if you can argue if Buffalo got more opportunities at though, you know, at got more cracks at that, then possibly. But I like Buffalo. Watch out for them.
You do have to watch out for them because every year 12 beats a 5 pretty much. So that's something to watch out for. Bobby Hurley's a heck of a coach, and they led Kentucky at the half.
Yeah.
One thing to be reminded
that
of.
That is true. That's very, very true. All right, let's move on, guys. Maryland and Valparaiso. Really quickly,
Maryland.
You're going with Maryland?
Yeah, I think Maryland rolls easily, man.
Okay, let's move on now. Notre Dame and Northeastern.
I like Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
See, this is a tough one. This Northeastern team, I've been talking with some people, and a lot of people actually have Northeastern upsetting Notre Dame, which I kind of find a little hard to believe.
And
as much as there is
the
12 seeds upsetting 5 seeds every year, these 14 seeds and 13 seeds and different conferences are usually getting upset every year. I mean, I'm looking up over the last few years. I mean, 2014, 2013, 2011, you see a 14 seed upsetting. So I'm actually going to go with Notre Dame. I think there's a better 14 seed out there.
With all that being said, you're still going Notre Dame.
You know, you gotta mix it up a little bit. Get people
you peppered
put
the
people
crowd
on their
up
toes.
A lot there, Alex. Gotcha. All right, but you're still going to Notre Dame. All right, let's move on. Wichita State and Indiana. I don't even think that Indiana deserved to be an attorney this year, guys. I don't know how they got in.
Yeah, I agree.
In.
Wichita
really
State
sneaked
is
in.
A rock solid team, consistent every year.
I'm sorry, Tom Green, but I'm going Wichita State as well.
Same here, Wichita.
Okay, same there. Kansas and North Mexico State. What do you guys think with that one?
Kansas. I think Kansas. I mean, Kansas, New Mexico State, sure. If you remember last year, they had like a 7'5" guy who was two of them. They had like a 7'3" and a 7'5" guy. They didn't really do anything. And when you're playing a team like Kansas, Kansas is a very quick team. They run the ball off the court really, really quickly. So
okay.
I think I'm going to go with Kansas, man.
Yeah, I think we're all going with Kansas over New Mexico State. All right, guys. Well, let's go on to the round of 32 now, really briefly here in that same region. I got Kentucky. I'm just to save some time here. I got Kentucky winning the national championship. I think, again, if Kentucky is going to lose, because I've seen this team battle through a lot of adversity all year, and, you know, specifically, I go back to that Georgia game, you know, Michigan State's first round opponent in the tourney. Georgia had, you know, like a 3 or 4 point lead with 3 minutes left in that game. And to see how poised this young squad, laden with a lot of freshmen, is able to handle themselves in tight situations. They don't panic. They act like seniors. If Kentucky is going to lose in this tourney, it is just going to have to be an off day for the Wildcats, which can definitely happen in a tourney. A lot more pressure than regular season, but still, I'm a firm believer in Kentucky. I just don't see anybody beating them.
Al, big question for me. Who do you think is the biggest threat in this, Midwest?
Right, the Midwest region.
Yeah, who do you think is the biggest threat to Kentucky?
Man, you know, right now I have eventually Maryland and Kentucky meeting. I think that'd be a heck of a game. And then also when I look at my Elite Eight here, the round of eight, I got Kentucky meeting Kansas. I think they can get beat in either one of those games. But again, Kentucky's so good. Again, it's going to just take an off night for them not to come through and win those games.
Right. Watch out for Notre Dame. That team, I feel like, has the best chance. Hot shooting night, and Kentucky's not playing well. It could happen. But other than that, I do have Kentucky in my Final Four
And, gotcha. So Kentucky comes out of that region. So that's how we'll do. We'll go through round one and then just fast forward to the Final Four and see what you got. Who's in your Elite Eight in that region? Do you know?
I do have Notre Dame and Kentucky, but I have Kentucky winning.
Gotcha. So. Gotcha. What about you, Alex? You got to come out the Midwest. I think it's pretty obvious answer, right?
Kentucky. Yeah. You got to go with Kentucky though. And in terms of biggest threats, if you guys followed Kansas towards the end of the year, they were playing without Perry Ellis, and they still hung in against a very good Big 12 opponent in their playoff. And pretty much handled. So I think this Kansas team has a lot of pieces, but with Kentucky, like you said, you just have to have a good night, and they just have the talent overall to basically beat anybody.
All right, the East region. Who do you got coming out the East? Who's your Final Four in the East?
Final Four, man? Oh, so we're going to jump.
Let's just jump because to go game by game, I think that would be kind of elongated. But I got Nova coming out of the East region. I think Nova will meet Virginia in the round of eight in the Elite Eight. I really like Virginia a lot. I think Providence will eventually meet Virginia in the Sweet 16. I got Virginia winning that game. And you know, if you look at it, Michigan State is also in that region. You know, Drew Sharp was on the show yesterday. Drew doesn't think Michigan State is beating Georgia in the first round. He doesn't have Michigan State come out the first round. Which is not surprising, right? As Drew Sharp we're talking about. But, you know, Drew said, you know, it's going to come down to the physicality of if the referees allow Michigan State to bang a little against the Bulldogs, then he can see Michigan State winning that game. But if they call it real tight, if they're calling it real pity-patty, he thinks Georgia will win that game. So he's got Georgia. Huh. What do you think? Do you think Michigan State comes out the first round?
Yeah, I think Michigan State will win against Georgia, but I think they'll lose to Virginia, man. And I think that because last year it was a very close game in New York, and I think Virginia's looking at a chance of redemption. I think they're a much better team than they were last year. I think they have way more pieces, more experience now. I mean, before last year, they haven't been ranked this high in years, and they haven't had this. Well, actually, no, they were one seed, I believe, right? They were one seed.
I believe so.
Back.
Yeah, they were.
You know what? I mean, I think they're kind of waiting for their chance to really make a run. I actually think Virginia is going to win this region. I have them in
you
the
do.
Final Four.
You got Virginia in the Final
I
Four.
I think. I think that if they can get past Michigan State, I don't think you like Nova.
I think Nova.
I think they're the weakest one seed in the tournament.
I do. I think they're the weakest one seed too. Al. But when you look at it, if anyone's going to knock off Nova, and I definitely contemplate about this too. I like Northern Iowa a lot. I don't know if you really looked at Northern Iowa.
I heard that Joe Lenardi had them in his Final Four, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I haven't looked at Joe's bracket, but I really think that Northern Iowa could possibly knock off Nova, but I went with my gut here. I just still feel as though Nova is going to pull this thing out. Ben, who do you get? What do you think about MSU first? You think MSU beats Georgia?
All right, I am a little bit more optimistic than anybody here regarding Michigan State because I feel like they're playing their best basketball of the season right now. It really comes down to for me if they can emotionally get over that loss and move on from it. And reports have been that they seem to have done that, but we'll see. So I have them actually beating Virginia in the second round.
You
because
do?
I think Justin Anderson isn't healthy enough. Uh-huh. And I think that's a big problem for them. They haven't looked the same way since he's been back from the broken finger. So I think that's a big upset for them. But then I see them losing to Oklahoma in the Sweet 16. Okay. And then I have Villanova in the Final Four. They are the weakest one seed, but they are also in the weakest
part of the bracket, exactly.
So I think that is going to push them through.
Okay, so you got Michigan State going how far?
Sweet 16, losing
Sweet
16. To Oklahoma.
And man,
Oklahoma
that is incredibly optimistic, man. I tell it, you look like it, a prophet it, if
it's
that happens.
It's optimistic, but I think Justin Anderson, the loss is just too much. Well, he's not fully healthy yet, so.
Right, and it is going to come down to how Michigan State bounces back off a crushing loss like that. I mean, you know, being out there in Chicago, of course, we were covering that game. And just
I was
see,
there.
How distraught. You saw how distraught they were. Tears flowing. Denzel Valentine weeping. Bad. And we saw the only other game that I can equate that to, and I said it yesterday, is the Minnesota game. After that Minnesota loss, I mean, I walked in that locker room, and this team just looked defeated. And we saw how they responded off of that. They actually lost their next game. They got to have a short memory now. It's tourney time. So, all right. So, I got Villanova coming out. You got Ben
Villanova.
Villanova as well. I'm sorry. And you got Virginia.
Got Virginia.
Coming out of that region. All right. South. Alex, who you got coming out the South?
Coming off the South, man. See, the thing about the South region is that the seeds that aren't ones are very good. And I think that in that region, you'll see that. Before I answer the South, Al, do you think that this one seed has any chance of going to the Final Four?
Duke? Yes, I definitely think that Duke has a chance. I mean, I love Coach K's team this year, man. I think this team can play with anybody, to be honest with you. But I don't have Duke in my Final Four, though, man.
Because a lot of people think that with Duke this year, that they have one of the toughest roads to get there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they have some games that, you know, they're playing some very underrated teams. But overall, man, and this reason, I actually think Gonzaga is going to come out. I think they're one of the strongest two seeds in the tournament. They, if you look at them statistically, they have the best offense to defensive ratio in the country right now. So I think that Gonzaga, statistically on paper, it makes sense for them in the Final Four.
You know, I got a surprise here for you guys. I think Iowa State can make the Final Four. I have Iowa State.
I love that pick. I love it.
You like that?
I love it.
Yeah, I got Iowa State. I think this team is a complete offensive machine. They were actually ranked 15th in the nation in scoring at 78.4 points per game and 12th in the nation.
So you think
in
they're going to beat a Gonzaga defense that's pretty solid, huh?
Yes, I think. And, you know, you can make a case that Gonzaga is maybe the nation's most talented offense, to be honest with you. And they rank first in field goal percentage at 52.4, fourth in three-point percentage, and fifth in assist-to-turnover ratio. So Gonzaga, the Zags, don't sleep on them. I just think that the athleticism that this Iowa State team shows game in and game out is going to be the in factor in this. But if Iowa State and Gonzaga match up, get your popcorn ready. That's going to be a fantastic game, man. That's going to be a
fantastic
game.
Yeah,
I got Iowa State coming out of that. I got Iowa State coming out of that. What about you, Ben?
I have Iowa State too, believe it or not. You know,
wow.
Iowa State's one of those teams that can really, really threaten Kentucky if they meet in the title game because of how good, you know, Hoiberg's offense is just genius. Dustin Hoge's a great low post player. He's just a beast. They have all the ingredients, and I think they're just too athletic for Gonzaga. We always get hyped over Gonzaga every year, and they always leave us hanging our heads, and they don't come through, you know. And I think part of that reason they have such elite stats, like he looked at, they don't play in a very strong conference. So
right.
How are we supposed to know if they're actually as good as we think? So we'll see, but I don't think they are.
Hey,
I
but
think
again,
Iowa State's going to beat them.
Look at teams like Memphis every year, back in their great years. They were Conference USA. Hello, what is that? They've been great too. So just because the conference is weak, just because, you know, that's what I'd say on the other side of it, Ben, is just because they come from a weak conference doesn't mean they're not going to be good in the tournament. I think they have a good national ranking for a reason, man. I like Zags this year, guys.
All right. All right, let's go to our final region here. Before we hit our first break, let's conclude things in the West, folks. Who do you got coming out the West? I am going with Wisconsin. I got Wisconsin coming out the West. Ben?
I have Arizona. I think Arizona is too athletic for Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. That's just a matchup nightmare for Wisconsin. They got to hope Arizona loses.
I have Wisconsin and Arizona actually meeting in the Elite Eight. And you know what? It was so fun being out in Chicago and watching Wisconsin in person. You kind of got an up-close and personal look at this team. I think they have so many weapons. They can shoot. All five starters can shoot the basketball. I mean, it's unbelievable how well they shoot the basketball.
Bronson Koenig is a diamond in the rough for Bo Ryan.
Yes.
People don't know Duke and North Carolina both offered Bronson Koenig, and he chose to go to Wisconsin.
Wow, I had no idea.
Yes.
Wow, he definitely has a diamond in the rough. I mean, that kid, man.
Stepped up huge over the season. I mean, if they get Travion Jackson back, even off the bench for a little bit, that's still going to be huge. They don't have a lot of depth. That's what I'm worried about with them.
Right, exactly. So do you have Wisconsin and Arizona meeting at least?
I do, yeah. And
okay.
I think that's a matchup nightmare for Wisconsin, so I have Arizona moving on.
Okay, who do you got coming out the West, Alex?
Yeah, I think Wisconsin has a good chance, but hey, a dark horse. Watch out for Oregon over potentially Wisconsin in this one. I think this is an Oregon team that,
Joseph Young,
that has a lot of star talent and has looked very good at times. They've beaten very good teams in the conference, was right there with Arizona. So I think that this Oregon team has a very good shot of shocking Wisconsin in this one, just to be alarmed. I'm not sure that they will. I wouldn't go out on a stake with it, but just something to look out for. We actually have a caller, Al Ray, who wants to comment.
Okay,
on
Ray,
the NCAA tournament.
My man Ray, you're on Current Sports. How you doing, Ray?
How you guys doing today?
Good, good.
Well, I'll tell you, if we get anything like the Big Ten tournament, we're gonna be in for an exciting NCAA tournament, aren't we?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, I think it's a lot of intriguing matchups across the board when you look at the overall NCAA tourney this year, Ray.
Who does Michigan State have to play if they win that first game?
If they win that first game, most likely, I mean, pretty much book it unless something crazy happens. But Virginia plays Belmont. They'll probably take care of Belmont. And if Michigan State beats Georgia, they'll play Virginia in that second round.
Well, they don't have much of an offense, but, boy, they got a heck of a suffocating defense. I don't know if we're going to match up with that one.
Right. I'm curious. Hold on. First off, do you do a bracket every year?
No, my son does all the time, but I never mess with it because I'm always out jogging and working out and stuff.
Oh, my man. My man. Always staying fit, Ray. So do you think Michigan State comes out that first?
Shape.
Do you think Michigan State comes out that first round?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like you said, the key is Dawson. I mean, when he wants to, puts his mind to it, he can dribble the ball up the hoop, up the court a little bit.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. I do think Michigan State will come out of that first round, but I would not be surprised if they don't, Ray. Thanks
right,
a lot for the call, my man.
All right, buddy.
All right, folks, if you want to weigh in, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Really quickly, guys, who was your final four? Well, we just talked about the final four. What's the matchup? What's the national championship matchup for you guys?
Iowa State.
You got Kentucky over Iowa State, Ben does. All right, what about you, Alex?
Yeah, man, I think Kentucky, you can't go wrong. It's the safe bet, man. So I think it's going to be Kentucky and
who? The Zags?
Possibly the Zags, I think, yeah. So.
Okay, I'm going with Kentucky and Nova, and Kentucky wins that game 68-59. Again, folks, join our current sports bracket tournament for a chance to win a prize if you come out numero uno. Go to facebook.com/currentsports. I've also tweeted it out on my Twitter page at Al Martin, WKAR. Well, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll be talking MSU Pro Day. Brooks Lambeer of Impact Sports is right now on campus at Pro Day experiencing the fiasco that is Pro Day. Workouts are happening. Interviews are going on. It's absolutely insane in the membrane. I'll chat with Brooks in just a sec. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Hopefully you're having a great hump day. Folks, I have a quick update here. From Ingham County, for those out there that may be on the road or around this area, I want to let you know that this is just a direct text message here. Evacuating 1/2 mile from Bogue Street and Wilson Road on MSU's campus due to a gas leak. There is a gas leak from Bogue Street and Wilson Road. Stay away from that area, please. Please avoid that area. It is dangerous. So if you're out there driving, if you're out there on campus listening, avoid that area. Again, there is a gas leak, Bogue Street and Wilson Road, folks. And thanks a lot to Current State's Kevin Lavery for providing that update here on the show. Well, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. I tell you what, he's outstanding. I love following his work for Impact Sports. And right now, he is at MSU Football Pro Day. There's a lot of coaches, there's a lot of personnel and GMs from across the league in the NFL, and Brooks is right there covering it right now. How you doing, Brooks?
Pretty good, Al. How about you?
I am fantastic, my man. Thanks a lot for joining us on this busy, busy Pro Day. First off, I got to ask you, what do you see? What's it like out there?
Oh, man, there's a lot of coaches. I was accidentally stood next to Mike Tomlin, so that was pretty cool. Chip Kelly's here, Mike Zimmer from the Vikings. There's a, you know, there's a ton of scouts here, and, you know, there's just everyone. They're scouting. Looks like Tomlin's gotten Langford from what I can see, and you know, it's really exciting to see how these guys have a chance to perform like this in front of all these pro scouts.
Now, that's very interesting that you said Tomlin is looking at Langford. It's funny because, of course, you know, he's you know, I remember when Tomlin was at Pro Day when Le'Veon Bell was working out. And Le'Veon, of course, is now running back for an incredible running back, one of the best in the league right now for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, Tomlin, I guess he has an affinity for running backs at Michigan State, huh?
Yeah, I would say so. And, you know, he was actually smiling about some other guys when they're benching their reps. He was enjoying that. He's put on a smile, unlike some of these other coaches. You know, they're very stern, you know, stern faces. But Tom was having a little fun with this. He was smiling. So yeah.
Now, Brooks, I want you to kind of take us through the day. What exactly, you know, has been going on from the very start of Pro Day up until right now?
Yeah, well, when I first got here, they went into the weight room. You know, they did the verticals, they did the weigh-ins, they did the bench press, and they just finished the 40 in the shuttle times. And now the wide receivers are going to go run routes, and the quarterback's going to throw the ball. And I'm sure the other field players will get to do their drills as well. So we're in the field. We're like in the field drill portion, no more of the physical testing.
And Brooks, your Twitter handle is at BrooksLambeer. So follow Brooks. That's LAIMBEER. And Brooks, you've been actually tweeting and Instagramming throughout the entire pro day. I'm seeing here, you know, pictures of Chip Kelly, and you got videos of Travis Jackson running the 40-yard dash, so on and so forth. Out of all the performances you've witnessed so far today, who's been really impressive to you?
You know, a lot of the offensive linemen have been really impressive, especially on the bench press. You know, obviously, when you have shorter arms on the bench press, you're going to get more reps in. You know, I thought, you know, Lippitt had ran a good 40. You know, Mylon Hicks was a little upset with his 40 time, but I think he's done very well.
What did he run?
You know, they don't tell us the 40 time, unfortunately. That's okay. Kind of kept between the coaches and the pro scouts. So, unfortunately, I don't know much of that. But, you know, a lot of the guys have been really doing very well.
That's great. Now, you know, I want to ask you this because I've always wondered this question, Brooks. When you look at Pro Day, you know, I feel as though it's a much more intimate atmosphere than the NFL Combine because it's more personable. You're right there on your own campus. You know, it feels more homely, if you will. I mean, what makes Pro Day different from the NFL Combine?
Well, I mean, it's definitely not as quiet as if you watch on the NFL Network when you're watching Pro Day. It's not as quiet. You know, the families are here, a lot of hugging, you know, between parents and other players and, you know, the players and their parents. It's a very friendly atmosphare, very loud, especially in the weight room when they're doing reps. You know, all the teammates were here. They're cheering their guys on because they want them to do well. So it's a very, very friendly and loud atmosphere.
Yeah, definitely. And I got to ask you, I mean, who do you think is bolstering their possible draft stock as we speak right now?
You know, I don't think anyone's really hurt themselves, honestly, in their draft stock. I think they've done well and they've done what they needed to do. I would say anyone that probably helped their draft stock are probably some of the offensive linemen on the reps. And then, you know, especially with Chip Kelly here, he wants fast offensive linemen for his offense. So, you know, that hasn't hurt. And then, you know, Langford hasn't done everything. He's done certain things. He's done the reps. He hasn't done, you know, a lot of the 40s and whatnot. So he's probably just, you know, letting his 40-yard times from the combine speak for themselves. But, you know, I don't think anyone's really hurt themselves. Hopefully Lippitt doesn't hurt himself in the wide receiver drills he's going to run up coming up shortly.
Right. Yeah, definitely. How has Trey Waynes looked so far, Brooks?
You know, Trey Waynes hasn't done a lot of stuff. I think he did a vertical, I believe, and he didn't do reps on the bench. I don't think he ran the 40, but he did the shuttle. He's been kind of in and out, but you know, that's kind of what to expect if he had really good combine numbers. So
right.
You know, I would kind of keep those combine numbers, you know, instead of, you know, possibly something else happening at your pro day. So
yeah, certainly. And I'm seeing here right now, actually looking at the email from Pro Day that they sent out to the local media members here, and Trey Waynes is expected to just participate in position drills only. So that certainly is not surprising, to say the least, Brooks. And also, yeah, you know, Trey had a great, great NFL combine. So he sure doesn't want to hurt his draft stock if he comes out and doesn't produce, you know, the numbers that he did in the NFL combine. Folks, we're talking with Brooks Lambeer of Impact Sports. Again, Brooks is down right now on the campus of Michigan State University, covering MSU Pro Day. Now, you know, it's really, really interesting when you look at this upcoming draft, because, you know, I really think that a guy like, you know, Trey Waynes, I think he's going to be drafted in the first round of the NFL draft. Who do you see going in the first round, Brooks?
Wow, first round player. I mean, I would agree with you with Trey Waynes. You know, I've seen him at 11 in Minnesota, and, you know, I'm sure Mike Zimmer is probably watching that very closely here, and he's probably really taking a lot of notes. You know, I would say Trey Waynes, especially with the 40 time he ran, because everyone loves speed in the NFL nowadays. You know, speed and power, that's the name of the game. So,
right. What about Tony Lippitt? How has Tony looked today? I'm curious.
You know, I think Tony's looking fine, but I don't see him as maybe a potential first rounder.
And
you know,
why is
maybe
that?
Someone you kind of, you know, I think he did well during the season. I don't think there was anything. I mean, he made spectacular catches. He was a big playmaker. But, I mean, I don't think you're really going to take him over Amari Cooper. or, you know, Kevin White from West Virginia. You know, to be honest, I think those guys are very, you know, first round material. Langford, I think, is the other one that can really go from, I think, anywhere from, I've heard, from 2 to 6. So, you know, I think, you know, maybe Langford could slip in at the end of the first round. So who knows?
Yeah, certainly. All right, Books, before we get you out of here, man, well, again, we appreciate the report. Again, live from Pro Day as we speak. So how is the day going to wrap up here? What's planned after this?
Oh, well, we have interviews after everything's done. You know, we'll get to speak to the players. We'll get to speak to Coach D'Antonio. None of the NFL scouts, obviously, because they don't want to give anything away. But they probably want to tell us anything anyways because, it's just a mind game with everyone. But after these position drills, we wrap up with interviews and then head home and, write the story.
There you go. All right, Brooks. And, you know, compared to last year, did you go to Pro Day last year at all?
No, I did not go last year.
So this is your first year at Pro Day, because I'm curious to kind of compare it to this year's. I mean, do you think, you know, it's kind of grown over the years? I don't know if you talked to any of the local media members. Are they kind of impressed about the turnout for this year's over last year's? Have you talked at all about, you know, any local media members about that?
Yeah, I talked to John Lewandowski about it, and, you know, unfortunately, with the way the MSU basketball kind of ran into the combine, or not the combine, the NFL Pro Day this year for MSU, there's not as many media members here. And I think there's a little less NFL scouts here this year.
Okay.
That could be maybe the talent-wise, maybe teams already know what they want, maybe they already see what they've seen. But I think Lewandowski, there's a little less NFL scouts here this year.
And also, of course, the breaking news that we actually got on Current Sports yesterday of course, running back Delton Williams. He has been suspended indefinitely right now from the team due to, of course, brandishing a weapon from his vehicle during a road rage incident yesterday. Has there been any buzz or any talk from Pro Day about, you know, concerning Delton Williams?
No, there's been none, and I don't expect anyone to say anything. That's probably going to be something that, you know, Athletic Communication is going to keep under wraps with Coach D'Antonio, and they'll release something, you know, when the right time is to release something. So,
definitely. All right, Brooks, how can folks find your work, and when will your report be posted from Pro Day?
Thank you, Al.
Thank you, my man. I think it's impactsports.org, right?
Yes, impactsports.org/sports. Yep.
There you go. Brooks Lambeer, the one and the only. Thanks a lot, Brooks.
Thank you, Al. Take it easy.
All right. Let's hit our second break, folks. When we come back, we will talk about that Delton Williams arrest. We'll also touch on the Detroit Pistons. And also, how about this? Jim Boeheim to retire in 3 years. Say it ain't so. You're listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Do not touch that dial. Don't you do it. Welcome back to Current Sports, folks. Now, before we went to our interview just a minute ago, I talked about a gas leak here on campus. Just an update on that story now. Natural gas leak at Boak Street and Wilson Road, very, very close to where actually we are here on campus at the Communication Arts and Sciences Building. The cyclotron has been evacuated, and no other evacuation is needed at this time. So they're asking you all out there to please avoid that area. It is dangerous as we speak. So again, natural gas leak, Boak Street, Wilson Road, right on MSU's campus. The cyclotron has been evacuated, and no other evacuation is needed at this time. All right, we just finished chatting with Brooks Lambeer of Impact Sports. Again, Brooks is at Pro Day. He just reported from Pro Day Forest and, told us about, you know, Mike Tomlin in the house, you know, of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Chip Kelly of the Eagles is there. A lot going on. You know, a lot of coaches there, a lot of NFL personnel scouting, a lot of MSU football talent. And hopefully, trying to make those NFL dreams come true. I mean, guys like Trey Wayans and Marcus Rush and so on and so forth. Alex, what do you think of Pro Day? Man, I want to get your thoughts on it really briefly here before we shift gears. What do you think of Pro Day, and how much can a player really bolster their stock at a local Pro Day at a university?
See, in Trey Wayne's example, it can only hurt at this point, as Brooks explained. That's why he didn't even want to run the 40 or anything like that.
Right.
So I think it's case by case. But for some of the guys that aren't at the combine or they're not running or that are hurt, I think it's very beneficial, man. You don't know what could happen. The day before your combine run, you may have sprained an ankle, and that might hurt you. So for me, it's another chance to show the pros what you can do if you want. I'm all for it.
Who goes in the first round for you?
Man, it's got to be Trey Waynes, man.
I think Trey goes. Do you think Tony Lippett is a first rounder?
Nah, do you?
Not at all. I don't think he is either. But we'll see. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe he impresses. And you know, there's always a few surprises here and there in the NFL draft every single year, which will be held, actually, in Chicago. We were actually not missed.
Hey, man, I mean, looking at last year, I mean, you only saw one Spartan going in the first round. And after that, you didn't see anyone go to the fifth, seventh round, undrafted. So I think that says a lot to where Spartans typically go in the draft. I don't think this year's kind of crop, aside from maybe Wayne's, is as good as last year's crop. So yeah. I don't think that you're going to see many Spartans, unfortunately, in the top three rounds.
Gotcha. All right, well, let's shift gears now. I want to briefly get your thoughts on Delton Williams as well. MSU running back Delton Williams has been suspended from all team activities indefinitely after being involved in a road rage incident right here on the campus of Michigan State University. Now, no charges have been filed, but Williams was lodged in Ingham County Jail on Monday night. Now, he was, of course, the team's third leading rusher last year with 316 yards. Again, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. I really think when you look at this, Alex, it's very unfortunate for the team because, you know, not too long ago, you know, we were talking about McGarrett Kings Jr. and his run-in with the law, kicking a parking enforcement vehicle. Why you do that? I have no idea. Just a kind of a boneheaded move. And we talked about that incident. So now you have another arrest concerning another MSU football player, this time in Delton Williams. You know, this is really unfortunate. I think anytime you have two incidents like this, you know, so close to each other in time, I think Mark D'Antonio has to send a message here, man. I think he's kind of got to lay down the hammer. And how hard that hammer will be, I mean, that's going to be an interesting question, man. I think anytime something like this happens, again, he is suspended from all team activities. I could see Delton sitting out a few games to start next year, man.
The worst part about this whole thing is this comes on the brink of Matt Garrett King's ordeal.
Right, right.
And I think, unfortunately, although this is a first offense for Williams compared to King's, he's going to get a little harsher punishment, I think, overall. I think that's what should happen. There has to be a precedent set at this team for no nonsense. No nonsense.
Well, I think it's a worse crime. I mean, what Delton did.
Absolutely.
I mean,
he had a firearm.
You're flashing a gun? I mean, come on, man. I mean, he kicked the park enforcement.
The thing is, he did have a concealed weapons permit. I did see he reported.
He did have one. But still.
Still, you don't do that.
You got to act responsibly with that, you know?
But overall, I mean, looking at past years from Michigan State football, and the off-the-field issues that they've had, it's been pretty squeaky clean for the most part. And now you're seeing this kind of on the rise of prominence for Michigan State football in their winning years. And I think that can hurt them a little bit. I hate to see that.
Yeah, well, I always say, I think, you know, anytime you're talking about student-athletes, you got to realize that these are still kids at the end of the day. You know, how many times have we seen college students or in college student-athletes just do boneheaded things? I mean, it happens every year. We're talking about a different story. I mean, we talk about, you know, Johnny Football during his football career. And, you know, we talked about, you know, Jameis Winston and all the quarrels that he had when he was, you know, when he was playing. So you're going to have athletes who do stupid things. That's just the nature of it, point blank, period. The thing is, if that kid learns from it, one, and how the administration or university handles it, are two of the most important things out of the whole situation. So, one, I don't know, you know, Mark D'Antonio, you know, he knows these kids. He works with them on a day-in and day-out basis. He's recruited them. They know Coach D very, very well. If he is remorseful for what he did, you know what I mean? And the same thing goes with McGarrett Kings. I think you can see both of these players getting a second opportunity.
Yeah.
But in McGarrett Kings' case, he's gotten his leash is really, really short. I don't even know if he'll be with the team next year because he's had other past incidents. But this is the first one that we know of when it comes to Delton Williams. I think he gets a second chance. D'Antonio will certainly punish him. Maybe send him out a game or two to start next year. But on that same token, it's a matter of whether or not Delton Williams will learn from this incident. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We have 9 minutes left in the show if you want to call in and give your thoughts on anything that is on your sports noggin. We got to talk some Pistons, Alex, really briefly here. They finally snapped a 10-game losing streak last night, and it took so long. I tell you, I've been waiting and watching. You know, I was out and about last night, but I was still watching on my phone on whether or not the Pistons could finally snap the losing streak. But they did it. They beat the Memphis Grizzlies, a pretty formidable team in the league. Reggie Jackson, 23 points, 20 assists. I'll say it again, 23 points, 20 assists. That's unbelievable. So I think, you know, it's a good win for the Pistons right now, but the question that remains is whether or not the Pistons will make the playoffs. Alex, what do you think?
It's tough, man. Well, hey, just before I answer that, the good news is the next three games, including today against the Sixers.
Yeah.
They're playing a poor Sixers team, a depleted Chicago Bulls team.
That's still good, though. That Bulls team is still good.
But depleted, without Derrick Rose.
Mm-hmm.
And also a lackluster Boston Celtics team. So I think, given the Pistons that have been super streaky this year, I think they'll win the next three games, Al. I'm saying it right now. I think they'll win all three games.
Really? That's a tall order, my friend.
This team's been on stretches. And if you could beat a team like the Grizzlies, I think that it's kind of in their hands to beat these poor teams and go on a streak. I mean, they lost, what was it, 11 straight? How many games did they lose?
10 straight. Yeah, 10
I mean,
straight
this,
games.
This team went on earlier this year and was streaky, man.
Yeah, but that was a different team other than this
right.
one. I really think, to be honest with you, I think that trade threw off Detroit's mojo. The trade to send DJ Augustine and Kyle Singler to OKC in an acquisition for, of course, Reggie Jackson and Tayshaun Prince, it threw off Detroit's mojo. Because before then, DJ was playing out of his mind, and that can throw off chemistry. You know, a move like that, when you talk about a move from that point guard position, can certainly throw off the chemistry of a team. Will they make the playoffs? I don't think so. They got 15 games left. Right now, looking at, you know, how many spots in back of the eighth spot right now that Miami holds, and it's going to be a dogfight between Boston, Charlotte, and Miami.
Right. But look, man, seven of those 10 games were on the road, and the Pistons, even when they were winning, they weren't playing well on the road to begin with. So that's what I would argue
as
well.
But this is the thing. There's seven games in back of the East right now, back of the eighth spot in the East right now, Alex. I just don't – I mean, you have to hope that four teams have bad stretches to end the year.
No, I agree. I don't think they're going to make it.
I don't see that happening. Yeah.
I think the Pistons will have a winning end to the year. I think they will.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right. Interesting. Well, again, I think the trade kind of threw off the chemistry. You got to be fair to this team, though.
But look, I mean, Al, they were in all these games, three-point losses, four-point losses. And even when they had that team, when they made those trades before the trades – they were still losing by 3-4 points and close every game. It's not like they're getting blown out by 30, you know, 20 points, 15 points like some of the other teams we've seen in this league right now. I mean, the Pistons are in most of the games. They kind of they're lackluster down the stretch. Mental collapses. You see it out. I mean, I know you watch the games.
Right.
A lot of their losses are mental collapses down the stretch.
But anytime you lose to a team like the New York Knicks, those losses
Spurs lost to the Knicks.
Yeah, but
the Spurs just lost to the Knicks.
Yeah, but come on now. The Spurs are resting right now.
The Spurs are a championship team.
Yeah, but you know how Greg Pop operates during this time of the year. You barely see Tim Duncan
or
Tony Parker.
Did you see Pop's interview yesterday when he sounded off?
I understand. Pop is always
angry. Were playing.
Pop is like Tom Izzo.
They didn't rest the whole team, man.
Greg Popovich is like Tom Izzo. They can have a flawless game, but will still nitpick and be mad. I mean, that's the method to their madness. But at the end of the day, you can't lose to the New York Knicks, man. Especially if you're competing and trying to make that eighth playoff spot. So,
right. No,
I don't know. It's gonna be interesting.
I hear you on that.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I think you got to be fair to the Pistons, though.
Right.
You got to give Stan Van Gundy a legitimate offseason to groom Reggie Jackson, because you saw last night, you saw a glimpse of what this man can do. 20 assists and 23 points? That's absolutely unbelievable.
Mind-boggling.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So you the potential is there. But the question that a lot of people are throwing out now is whether or not, one, I don't know if Greg Monroe is coming back. That's a big, big offseason question. And number two, should the Pistons tank right now and get a high draft stock?
Yeah, man.
That's a big question,
because
if you look at it right now, if the Pistons were to tank these last 15 games, they could probably solidify themselves if maybe like what the maybe have like the seventh worst record in the league. You know, it gives them more balls in the lottery to possibly get a high pick.
But hey, there's the other flip side of the coin where it's a weaker draft this year. There are a lot of young players slated to be in top 10 picks.
Yeah.
So at the same time, is it worth tanking for a draft like this? Even if they have the seventh worst record, knowing the lottery, the Pistons certainly don't help with that every year.
Yeah, they.
So,
they
even if they get like a number 8 or number 10 pick, if they're lucky with the lottery, I don't think they're getting a lot of value out of that. I really don't.
Interesting. What do you got? What do you folks think? You can weigh in on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. You can also tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. To close the show, Alex, I want to bring up this story because I found this very, very intriguing and quite surprising, to be honest with you all. San Francisco 49ers linebacker Chris Borland, one of the NFL's top rookies this past year, told Outside the Lines on ESPN Monday that he is retiring, calling it quits, hanging up the cleats, folks. And hanging up the jersey as well, because of his concerns about the long-term effects of repetitive head trauma. Now, Borland said he notified the 49ers on Friday of last week. He said he made his decision after consulting with family members, concussion researchers, friends, and current and former teammates, as well as studying what is known about the relationship between football the football neurodegenerative disease, and also CTE. Wow. It was stunning news because you'd never seen, we've seen, players think about this. We've seen the countless documentaries. I always go back to the PBS documentary that aired that we actually shown, when I sat down with Joanne Gerstner, who's done extensive research on head trauma and concussions, the League of Denial documentary, which the NFL was found to have tried to cover up what they knew about concussions from its players because they didn't want it hurting the game, and now it's certainly hurting them and the game at that. So, when you look at a guy like Chris Borland, hey, Alex, I have to agree with him. I don't blame him for saying, hey, I'm done. I don't want to be one of those players years and years down the line that's suffering with memory loss. They can't remember when he walks in a room why he walked into the room. Hats off to this young kid. Because he could easily be making millions and millions of dollars for years and years to come. Again, he's one of the top NFL rookies last year. But has decided, no, my health is more important. I'm saying bye-bye to the game of football. What do you think about that?
Yeah, and I think that you're going to actually probably see that increasingly. Did you see the reaction from other athletes on Twitter? People were giving him so much credit. Fellow NFL players were sounding off on it. So, yeah, I think that's tremendous, man. You got to do you, right? You got to do your own thing sometimes, and he's certainly doing that.
He's putting health first, right? Very interesting story. Then we will continue that story and discussion on tomorrow's Current Sports. You don't want to miss it. We'll also give you a preview of tomorrow night's Current Sports TV taping on Current Sports Radio at 1 o'clock. Current Sports TV, of course, airs tomorrow night at 10 p.m. We'll give you a sneak peek into the Ted Zale sit-down. Ted, of course, is the author. He co-authored the book along with boxing historian Clay Moyle, depicting the life and legacy of Tony Zale. The book is entitled Tony Zale, the Man of Steel. We'll be previewing that interview on tomorrow's show. I want to give a special shout out and thanks to all of you out there who tune in and listen to today's Current Sports. Also to Brooks Lambeer of Impact Sports. Thanks a lot, Brooks, for joining me on today's show. You have been listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care, have one fantastic hump day, and be easy, people.